Thank you, Isaac. Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning here in person. Grateful that you're here, but also online. Thank you for joining us online and worshiping with us this morning in that way. I want to share a couple things with you before we get started. If you have your Bibles, Colossians 2 is where we're going to go in just a moment. And also, if you're following along in your Bible, Colossians 2 and then also Mark chapter 14, and I'll explain how we're going to get there in just a few moments. Let me share a couple of announcements. First of all, Grace Point 101. Grace Point 101 is a class that's designed to share with those who are not members of Grace Point. You come to the class, Grace Point 101, February the 28th, after the third service here in our lobby, lunch and child care provided. You come to that class and we share with you about who we are here at Grace Point Church. We'll share our vision and our beliefs and staff and ministries and a lot of things about who we are at Grace Point to help you as you are seeking to find a church home. So if that is you, we'd love to have you. We haven't had one of these classes for about a year now because of COVID, but now we think we can social distance and prepare it all in a way that is safe. So we'll have lunch and childcare provided February 28th after the third service. We'd love to have you. You can sign up at the tables as you leave these two doors today. You'll see sign-up sheets on the table, but also online at our website, gracepointdenton.com. You can also sign us. Let us know you're coming. Childcare and lunch will be provided February 28th after the third service. We'd love to have you. Second, let me also mention giving statements. Many have asked about giving statements. They are available. So if you go to the website, gracepointdenton.com, at the top of our website, there's a place that says giving. And if you click on that, it takes you to In Fellowship, and that leads you to get you to your giving statement. If you need help with that, please call us here at the church office, and we'll be glad to walk you through that. But those are available. Also, let me mention last week, if you were here, even if you weren't, last week I shared the vision for 2021 for Grace Point Church. I had 18 vision statements, and those vision statements are posted on our website. They are on our Grace Point Facebook page, and also we have these copies of it front and back, all 18. As you exit both doors, if you would like a copy of those, grab those. Take those with you if you weren't here. You can kind of read through. They're pretty self-explanatory, biblically based, biblically driven. Each week, starting today, I'll share one of those vision statements as we'll go through 18 for the next 18 weeks. I'm not going to preach them since I already did that, but just to keep them before you. Vision statement number one, which we talked about last week, it is the vision that Grace Point Church be a biblically functioning community that exists for the glory of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. That's what we desire here. That's the vision for Grace Point Church now and into the future. Vision statement number one. We talked also about being a giving church, and I shared with you that I think you are a giving church, and I'm so thankful for the way you give tithes and offerings and coats for the cold and food for food pantry and whatever there is. I share that with you, and you faithfully give. And so today we have another opportunity for us to give, as a church. Cross Fellowship is a church that we planted 5 years ago out 380 in the Savannah area. Jay Beerley, who at that time, 5 years ago, served on staff for a while with us here, is one of our pastors. They were called to go plant a church, so we talked with him about that and sent him and Christy and their kids out 380 to start Cross Fellowship Church with about 20 people or so. They now have about 100 or so people that meet on Sunday morning. We've been meeting faithfully out there for 5 years. They've been advancing the gospel, preaching the gospel, doing a great work out there. They, since probably a year or so ago, they are self-sustaining. We still support them some financially each month, but they've come to that place where they are self-sustaining. And so they have been meeting in an elementary school there in Savannah, and because of COVID, they've been unable to continue to meet there. So as you're going to see in this video in just a moment, Jay just says they've been meeting just live stream. However, they have found a place there, a place that they can lease, and they can move into. It'll be their first kind of permanent, still lease, but yet permanent place for them as a church since they began. But they need funds to do that. And so this is an opportunity for us to come alongside them and to support them, and for you, as you pray about it, to be involved in supporting Cross Fellowship. So they have this video I want to share with you, and they're sharing their hearts. So let's watch this together.
Hey. Hello, Grace Point. My name is Jay Beerley. I'm the senior pastor of Cross Fellowship Church, and with me is Tyler Smith, who is our associate pastor.
Many of you know I'm Pastor Dave's son, and I grew up going to Grace Point. And Jay actually worked at Grace Point, as many of you also know. And then from there, got to come to plant Cross Fellowship in right off of 380 in the Savannah area.
Yeah, so back then, we met in Savannah Elementary School for around the last 5 years, and then COVID hit. And because of COVID, we were not allowed to meet in the elementary school anymore. So over the last almost year, we've been primarily just streaming our service, trying to stay connected to our people, but quickly realized that this was just not going to be a great long-term solution.
We started looking for a new place to worship, and the realty out here is extremely expensive, but the Lord provided what we feel is the place He is calling us to. But we had to raise money for construction to be able to make it a place that would be comfortable for us to worship in, to gather together as a church. And so the Lord has already provided so much funds, close to $85,000. It's just about halfway of what we need. And so we wanted to ask you if you would consider giving specifically for, we need an AC unit that is $25,000, and then we need to build out bathrooms, which would be $15,000. And so would you consider giving to this so we can gather once again as the body of Christ?
So if you are interested in participating in our giving program, if you'll just go to cfc380.com/campaign, you'll find out more information about the facility, the location, to meet the needs of reaching the Braswell Zone, or what we call the 380 corridor. Please consider praying for us and certainly giving there. We would appreciate it, maybe a one-time gift or some sort of monthly gift. We would greatly appreciate any generosity to help us find a permanent base of ministry so we can reach people in our area for the glory of Christ.
Another opportunity. Let me just encourage you just to pray, to go home and to pray about that, talk about that as a family if you want to give and be a part of this ministry to Cross Fellowship Church as they advance the gospel. I think it is a great opportunity. They've been doing a great work there, and so I hope you'll be just praying towards that, and then you can go to their website. You can look around their website, a lot of information there too, but also you have the opportunity to give and to support their vision, and then we'll stay in touch with them on how things are going as they continue to step forward in faith. They've raised, like they said, about half of that, about $85,000 they've already raised. And so I hope we can come alongside them as a church and give faithfully to them. Okay, let's do this. We're going to go Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Now, last year, if you were here, you know I started teaching through the book of Colossians, verse by verse. We got through chapter 1, and I said, well, let's in 21, let's just pick up chapter 2, and we'll just start going verse by verse through Colossians chapter 2 as we work our way through the rest of the book. So I want to start there, and then I'm going to jump to Mark chapter 14 in just a minute. But let me read Colossians 2, 1 through 6, and kind of talk to you about how I got to Mark 14 and where we're going today. Today, we're talking today about drifting from God. Drifting away from God. It's a very subtle thing. You may not even realize it's happening. In Colossians 2, 1 through 6, he says this. He says, for I want you to know, Paul says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. So there again, as we talked last week in the vision about the unity, the scriptures speak often about the unity of the church. And what can be accomplished through the unity of the church. Now, I'm going to talk about this more next week, but you can see it unpacks being knit together in love. And then here's what happens when that happens. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I think that I'm going to show you next week. I think that's a result, one of the results of being knit together, of the unity of the church. Verse 4, he says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. And we talked, I'll set this back up again, but false teachers were coming in to try to pull them away from the gospel and the truth of the gospel. That's why he's saying, verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments to lead you away. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So Paul was concerned about these believers and some new believers being pulled away by some false teaching, leading them away from the truth of the gospel. It happens today too. And so as I started to process and think about that, I started to think about people that have wandered from the faith, even people that no longer come to Grace Point and just aren't going anywhere and are no longer engaged in their faith. So I started kind of processing that. Reading this kind of led me to that. So then I started thinking about how that happens. And one of the ways that happens, I think, is we drift from Him, from God. And so what I want to do today is I started with that line of thinking. I wrote this message, which kind of moves me away from the verse by verse. So next week I'll start to get into Colossians 2, 1 through 6 and take it verse by verse. But the big idea from being led away, I want to look at that today because I think this is important for all of us. When we talk about what God has for Grace Point Church and the vision for 2021, every one of us, in order to see that fulfilled, we all have to be engaged. We all have to, as I said last week, in these bands, walk with God. That they can say of Grace Point Church that they walked with God. So I want to talk today about this idea of drifting away from God that can happen to all of us. If you're taking notes, on your outline, you'll see there on the screen, much of these takeaways you'll see on the screen behind me. But on your outline, I put a question, a rhetorical question just for you to answer on your own. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been closer to God than you are right now? Has there ever been a time in your life that you've been closer to God than you are right now? Or maybe we say it this way. Do you feel like you've drifted from God? Do you feel like you're stagnant maybe in your relationship with God? Maybe there's been a time where you feel like you have been growing stronger in your faith than you are now. I put on there just this, where are you? This scale from 1 to 10. 10 being, not that we're perfect, but 10 being, man, I feel the closeness of God. I am disciplined in my faith. I'm growing in my faith. That's a 10. And then a 1 would be, nothing's happening. Or maybe you don't even know Christ yet. And if you look, watching online or here, we're glad you're here. Maybe you're just starting the journey to learn more about who He is. So some of this is new to you, but we're glad you're in the right place to hear the gospel message. So wherever you may be on this scale, helps us as we kind of evaluate ourselves, helps us to kind of think about this idea of drifting, because here's what's going to happen in the message. One or two things. Number one, some of you, it's going to keep you from drifting. You're at a good place. But others, you have drifted, and it's going to help you, I hope, come back. It's going to help you get back on track. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let me just read it to you. He says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention. Okay, implication there is that we're paying some attention. We're hearing it. We're hearing it. We're showing up every Sunday, man, and we're hearing it. But pay much closer, he says, attention to what we've heard. To believers, pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Drifting away. When you think about any relationship, talk about a relationship with Christ, talk about a relationship with friends, talk about a relationship with husband and wife, with their kids, whatever it may be. Every relationship, to be healthy, must be maintained, and it must be intentional. Otherwise, you will drift apart if you are not intentional. Take any relationship across the board. If I'm not in my marriage with my children, with my parents, with my coworkers, if I'm not intentional, and if I'm not maintaining that, happens in marriage all the time. Same is true in our relationship with Christ. That if we are not intentional, if we are not disciplined, as we're going to talk about, if we're not maintaining it, we drift from Him. It is impossible for your relationship to just stay the same. It is always changing. It is always getting better, or it is getting worse. your heart is either growing colder toward God or warmer toward Him. You are either moving toward Him or you are moving away from Him. And all of us have known people, and maybe you yourself have experienced this, or maybe you are right now. But I'm sure many, if not all of us, have known Christ followers that once were committed, but have drifted away. And there's a number, we're going to talk about some ways. I won't cover them all, but there's certainly a number of things that can cause that. One mark of Christian authenticity is discontentment with anything less than all the fullness of God. Now listen to me, as your pastor, as your shepherd, I want you, it runs deep in me. This is the calling God has on my life. I want you to experience all the fullness of God. I want to experience that. I want you to experience that. And that's why at times I'm going to press in. That's times why I challenge, and because I want that for you. And I will tell you this. I do not believe that all the fullness of God, and in John chapter 10, verse 10, it's not on the screen, but in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I have deep conviction that you and I, nobody, can experience the fullness of the abundant life that God has for us apart from Christ and His church. Anything else you experience in the world is always spending your time in the shallow end of the pool. You think it's great, but that's because you have not experienced the fullness of God in His church. And whatever your experience is lacking in main ways compared to what God has for you. I fully believe that through a relationship in Christ and His church, that we must have Him and we must have His church to experience the fullness. Now, look, I'm not saying you need the church to be saved. But I'm talking about that as you mature in your faith in Christ and you commit to the local church, I think we then begin to experience the fullness of what God has for us. And I want that for you. That's one reason why we're talking about this today. Coasting is not discipleship. Drifting in self-contentment is not like basking in a pool of security, but like floating fast asleep toward the falls. So maybe for some, it's just kind of a wake-up call. Maybe others, I'm good. Maybe others, man, I'm way off. Just wherever you're at, though, I wanted to encourage you, challenge you, but encourage you. So wherever you're at, I hope this message can do that. Now, the easiest thing in life is to drift. The easiest thing. It takes no discipline. You go to the beach and ocean, and you put your stuff here, set up camp, and then you take your raft and you walk out into the ocean, and it's finally that time where you're just going to let it all astray, and it's just you on the raft and the sun and the ocean, and you lay back and you relax and you're just looking up and you fall asleep, and 20 minutes later you wake up and you sit up and you look and think, this does not look familiar. And you look way down there, and there's where you were staying, and there's your children waving at you, and there's you, what happened? I mean, you drifted. What did you do to drift? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's the easiest thing to do. And it happens to us, you know, spiritually. Like we lose this urgency. We lose this discipline. We lose this focus. So here's what I want you to grab hold of and understand. There is no standing still. There is no standing still. We like to convince ourselves. As one writer said, the life of this world is not a lake, it is a river, and it is flowing downward to destruction. Now, that can be, it's a kind of a downer statement, but in the context of what we're talking about, drifting is, think about this, the world and the culture and the world in which we live in is not going to encourage you, draw you to godliness, to Christ in his church. The world will draw you from him and his church. And so therefore, we have to be vigilant. Drifting always takes you in one direction, away. It always takes you away. And if we're not careful, it can be a very harmful thing in the Christian life. So today, what I want to talk to you about is I'm going to give you four things, four reasons. Now, there are more, certainly, but four reasons why we at times drift from God in our relationship with him in Christ. And this is where I want to go to Mark chapter 14, because I want to show you Peter. And because of time, I'm going to go Mark chapter 14. I won't take the whole chapter, but I'm going to start in verse 27 here in just a moment. And then I'll have to skip over some things, because if you were here last week, you know that I took a whole lot extra time. I have no extra time for the rest of the year after last week. So I have to stop on time today. So I'm going to take big sections of this, and I won't dwell on any one of these reasons we drift. Takeaway number one, Mark 14, Peter, as we're talking about, his denial of Christ, pride, overconfidence. I could attach complacency to that too. But Mark chapter 14, verse 27, let me read this to you. And Jesus said to them, talking about the disciples he was with that day, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, talking resurrection here, after I'm raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. Now, I kind of like, you know, Peter's, his determination there. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. So Jesus is telling him, Jesus is speaking, you're going to deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. Now, when we trace this out to Mark, to verse 72 of Mark 14, we see the story goes that he does indeed do exactly what Jesus said he would do, which was deny him three times. Overconfidence, pride, is often the first step to drifting away, because we start to think, I'm feeling good, I can handle this. I can make this happen on my own strength, in my career, in my job, in my fix this. Man, I can fix this. I got this. I can do this. I can handle this. I can. And we get overconfident. One of the greatest threats to your faith is not failure. It is success. Because when you start to experience success in whatever arena, we start to tap, we're not careful to get confident, overconfident in ourselves. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I can do. And if we're not careful, that overconfidence or that pride can lead us away. We begin to drift. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 is going to be on the screen. But let me just set this up real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Paul is writing, And he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he wants them to be careful, I think. And he begins to talk about those Christ followers, those who have gone before these brothers and sisters at Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, he says, for they drank from the same, from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So he begins to say, man, they're like you, man. They're doing the same things. They're Christ followers. He's their rock. But then he says in verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then he begins the following verses to to share some where their struggles were. And then in verse 10, he says this, therefore, he said, because of this, what I just told you, that they too, Jesus was their rock and they were, but yet they fell. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So pay careful attention, right? Hebrews, to what we hear. First Corinthians, that if we're not careful, we too, if we get prideful, if we get overconfident. Colossians 1:18. We've studied this last year, and he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. In everything he might be preeominent. Not me, he. In my marriage, in my parenting, in my money, in my career, in my free time, everything. I mean, that's a sweeping statement. But in everything, he might be preeminent. That's a great dependence upon him. So I think we have to be careful. That one of the things that can cause us to drift is we get overconfident. And you may not say it with, you may not be articulate it this way, but I don't need him as much. I don't need to pray as much. Just think about this. We talked about this so many times, but just think about this. I mean, when how many people, and not just you, but just across the board, me, you, all of us, I mean, how many people, when God has just, when things are going great, and the marriage is great, and the salary is great, and the kids are great, that we just fall on our knees and weep before God to thank him for the blessing and all that he's given us? That doesn't happen! Didn't happen. It might, maybe, seldomly, but typically, why? Well, I mean, if we're not careful, my point is, if we're not careful, we start to move away when things start going really well. And we may not say it's pride, but it is. It's self-sufficiency. And my dependence on him is not as great. But how about this? What about when things fall apart and you get the bad results from the doctor? You lose your job. Something bad news. Then we go to the Word, we go to the Bible, we go to the, which we need to do. My point is we must be careful along the way that we don't become overconfident and we don't let pride move us away. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when Colossians 1:18, when he's preeminent and all, that moves us away from that truth and keeps us from drifting. Takeaway number two. First, pride. Takeaway number two, laziness. We have to be careful. An undisciplined life. Man, especially spiritual life. An undisciplined spiritual life. Laziness. Mark chapter 14, verse 37. As I said, we jumped over a few verses, but I go to 37. He says, and he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. So Jesus is taking the guy, his followers with him, and he's getting ready to go to the cross. So clearly, greatly distressed and distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And the spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. I'm sure they didn't. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? He says, it is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is prayed in the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Laziness causes us to drift. An undisciplined spiritual life causes us to drift. No longer embracing the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines in our life cause us to drift. D.A. Carson, who's a writer, says this: people do not drift toward holiness, which we already said. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness or prayer or obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise, and we call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience, and we call it freedom. We drift toward superstition, and we call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control, and we call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism, and we slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated. And when we lose the disciplines in our Christian life, we all drift, me included. And it can happen across the board. Like I said, in any relationship. When we become lazy, when we perhaps take things for granted, when we no longer have the disciplines in our life. I think, let me give you one example. I think church, weekly worship is a discipline, you know, that we have to have in our life. Now, what I'm about to say, you are all here, so I am preaching to the choir, as the saying goes. So what I'm about to say, I mean, you can check this box, right? And those of you watching online, I know many of you are just not ready to come back yet, and so your discipline is to engage us right here at 9:30 every Sunday morning. So I encourage you to continue to do that every single Sunday. So as your pastor, I would say this to you, which I'm kind of repeating, but I want, as your pastor, I want the very best for you. I want the very best for you spiritually in Christ, the abundant life this side of heaven. I want that for you. I fully believe that the pathway to that in Christ, and one big key piece to the puzzle, is committing to a local church, a Bible-believing church, and engaging in worship every single Sunday. I'm telling you, you need to be in church every single week. We all need to be in church every single week. Here's the crazy thing about it is, let's think about this now. Talking about drifting, I mean, I would tell you just over, I don't know, 30 plus years of ministry, what I've seen is talk about drifting. I mean, this is my own personal opinion. I think there has been the drift among Christ followers that it's almost like committing to be in church every single week is now this sacrificial act that some people decide to make. That's kind of where we've gotten, right? And I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, you need to be in church every single week. And if I, as your pastor, told you anything less than that, I would be a lousy pastor, right? Don't you have to say amen to that. You know what I mean. Amen, you're a lousy pastor. But my point is this. Here's the standard of what God's word says. All right. You know, my heart is to always hold it up, all of us up to this standard. Right? Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling as it's together as the habit of some. Some people they get in the habit. That's what happens, right? We lose the discipline of committing to being in church every single week. Okay? And by the way, man, just think about it this way too. The creator of heaven and earth and the one who has given you everything you have and has guaranteed you eternal life in Jesus Christ says, let's come together and worship for an hour. And we go, oh man, that's going to be a hard one this week. Right? Come on. Right? An hour. Well, hour and 15 or 20, you know what I mean. Depends on how long the preacher speaks. But look, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not in love. I'm not going to let you live there. It's not, no. I need to be, I mean, I get paid for it, you could say, but even before I was in ministry, man, you need the church. No matter what you're going through, you need the church. Get in church. Go to church. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a t-shirt. I'm not joking. I've already talked to the guy about it. He's going to print it for me. It's going to say, go to church. Real big on here. I'm going to wear it all around. Go to church, man. Go to church. What does that mean? It means you need to go to church. Now, I mean a Bible-believing church, but I mean, yeah, I mean, you say, well, that's your job. I believe in it. Man, I believe in the local church. And it is here that we come together and we worship corporately, and God speaks to you, and God gives you hope, and God renews you, and He gives you comfort and grace over after a hard week, that you can just reconnect with Him and with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you worship Him and praise Him, and it does something in your heart that you cannot get outside of the church. And so I believe that clearly, deeply. It's a deep conviction. I want that for you. Again, it's tied to abundant life in Christ. Now, first and foremost, we come because of who He is and what He's done for us. I mean, but I also know in addition what it does, a community of believers, how you can, how the church can encourage you, how the church can bless you, that you need that discipline and that commitment to say, and I think when we don't, it leads us to drift. I mean, I don't know a lot of people who stop coming to church and say, hey, Pastor, yeah, man, haven't been to church in about a year, but I tell you what, man, my walk's been stronger than it's ever been in my life. I haven't heard that one yet. And you know what else I haven't heard? I've never heard anybody at the end of their life say to me, and I've talked to a lot of people at the end of their life, I've never heard of anybody at the end of their life say to me, hey, you know what, Pastor Dave, let me just tell you something. Whew, I tell you what, man, if I could do things differently, I would not spend near as much time in church as I did. And my kids, they're married, and they're taking their kids to church right now. I tell you what, they spend so much time up there, I wish they would just not do that. I have never, in all my years, heard anybody say that. But I have heard the other quite a bit. I wish I would have. I wish we would have made that commitment. I wish we would have been more involved. I wish I would have been serving. I wish I would have invited. You hear that a lot. There's great, now, there's just, God does, He uses the community of believers in a local church to grow us in our faith. There's context to serve. There's context to give. There's context to grow. There's context to worship with others in the local church. And so I just encourage you as you pray through that to make that commitment. You need to be in church, man. You need the church. At the church, you have the context to grow spiritually. Now, can you grow outside the church? Yeah, you can grow outside the church. You can be discipled outside the church. You know, somebody from another church or something, you meet together and they disciple you. That's great. That doesn't then mean we don't need the local church. You can certainly grow outside the church. Most people, though, the context of their spiritual growth is going to be in context of a church. Sunday morning teaching here, I hope, and then small groups, maybe women's ministry, men's ministry, small group discipleship. I would say to you, for you to move forward in your faith and for you to grow, which I want for all of you, because again, because I believe that is where the fullness of God is. I believe that is where the abundant life is. I want that for you. I'm not saying you're going to have a problem-free life. I mean, committed Christ followers, when you commit to Christ into a church, does not excuse us or does not dismiss us from the effects of the fall, right? We live in a fallen world. Genesis 3 is a fallen, fractured, broken world. So as believers in Christ, that doesn't mean as Christ followers, committed Christ followers, that we escape the effects of the fall. We're still going to have to deal with the effects of the fall, but I'm telling you, you deal with them a lot differently in Christ and in His church than you do outside of Christ and His church. And so as you come and decide to grow in your faith, I mentioned this week, it's not on your outline, but five things that you need, that I think we all need to grow, I think, in our faith spiritually. You need a church you're committed to. And you commit to the church. You need godly people that are around you. Hey, you know, this is a whole other sermon. I don't even have time to finish this one, but let me just mention this. That you need godly people around you. You know this. You know this with your children. You know this with you, okay? The type of people you run with have tremendous influence on your life. You know that. You know this. You know this. Don't run from it. You know it. All right? And so this is why when your kids are running with certain people, you want to know who they're running with. And if there's certain people that are not good, that concerns you. Why? Because you know the influence, that they'll have on your kid. So you want them to run with the right kids. You're going to fight for that ground. You need to. And same thing for us as adults, right? That those that we run with, those that we invest in, those that we share our hearts with, those that we share our struggles with, right? We need those to be Christ followers. I'm not saying don't have, again, here's a third sermon I could preach. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, don't have any friends if they're not Christ followers. No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, we need to encourage and love and care and be in relationship. But when it comes to the depth of relationship and friendship, you need godly people around you. So when you are having marriage problems or kid problems or whatever, and you need counsel, you're hearing from somebody who believes like you do. And they give you counsel based on what the Bible teaches, not what, you know, Dr. Phil or whoever says, or what they heard or what they read in some magazine. That's the real deal. I mean, I hear more of that than practically anything else. So it's who you surround yourself. So you need a local church you're committed to. You need godly people that surround you. You need a vision to inspire you. So the vision is Christ-likeness. You as a Christ follower, and then you living out that faith, and you like Christ. That's the vision that inspires you. I want to be that kind of mom. I want to be that kind of dad. I want to be that kind of a God who's for you and a pastor who believes in you. Those five things, man. You got all those things here, I believe, at Grace Point, committing to his church. Doing the right thing, that's hard. You know, a lot of times that's hard. It's, like I said, the easiest thing to do is to drift. I mean, it's a lot easier for me to sit in front of the television and watch college or whatever basketball game, which I do, sit there and watch them go up and down and sweat and hurt and struggle. It's a lot easier to do that than it's free for me to go, you know what, I think I'm going to go outside and run 5 miles. It's a lot easier to just sit and watch people. Which I need to do for my health, that's never the easiest thing, right? The harder thing many times is the right thing. So let's get off this mindset. I mean, this somewhere where somebody was selling it and some people were buying it, that, and I think it's happening in Colossians to these believers, is that this faith, this Christ-likeness, this road that God calls us to, this journey, is going to be an easy thing. The spiritual growth just happens. Just show up, man. You know, it doesn't work that way, man. If you want to mature and to grow spiritually, you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to do the hard thing. You're going to have to be disciplined. That's what I'm talking about. Discipline in your life. Now, look, if you choose not to, you're drifting away. You may not realize, but something's going to happen at some point, and then you're going to wake up on the raft and go, whew, how'd I get here? I hear that all the time, man. People just, especially in relationships, they'll come in, and husband and wife, and they'll say, you know what? And it's a wreck. And one of them will always say, man, I don't even know how we got here. And I say, well, it's usually a gradual slow fade. And then something happens. Comes to the forefront, and you realize how far you've gone. Because we lose that discipline. What I'm saying is, don't wait. You can, as we're going to finish up here, you can have those, bring those disciplines back into your life. Okay, so it's 10, it's time for me to stop here, and if I don't, I'm probably going to lose my job. So 2 weeks in a row. Takeaway number 3, fear. Sometimes we fear what other people think, and so that causes us to drift. Verse 54 of this continued story, and Peter had followed him, talking about Jesus. They were taking Jesus away to be crucified, and Peter had followed him at a distance. That's the key thing. He's concerned about being identified with him, what others would think. Drift away. Takeaway number 4 is pleasure. Sometimes the lure of the world is more important to us than the discipline of our faith. He wanted to be warmed by the fire in the last part of verse 54 and 55, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. He wanted to be with the world, so to speak. And so sometimes that causes us to drift. Takeaway number 5, know that God wants you back. How do we come back? Takeaway number five, the good news, God wants you back. Isaiah 30, 18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. We talked about this last week. You matter to God, you matter to us, your grace point. God wants you back. He wants you to return back to him. Takeaway number six, return to him today. Don't wait. Hey, good news. You don't have to pray about this. Isn't that crazy? The pastor's saying you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to pray about whether or not I should return to Christ, whether or not I should be disciplined in my faith, whether or not I should be intentional in my marriage, whether I thought it starts with returning to him today. Hebrews 3:15, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. See, the good news is this. If you're here today and you identified yourself, man, I've been drifting. I've not been disciplined like I should. One of the signs of hope that you are born again is that you feel the weight of this. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so Jesus, I think, would say to you, as he said to Peter in Mark 16, verse 7, through his word, but go, this is after resurrection, post-resurrection, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So he wanted Peter to know. Jesus wanted Peter to know. Hey, look, failure is not final with Jesus. We can come back to him today. Let's stand together and pray. Will you stand with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these people of Grace Point Church and their faithfulness, God, to be here and worship you today, God. May everything we do point to you. And wherever we're at, Lord, in our faith and our walk, thank you for your grace and mercy that covers us. Draw us back to you, Father, today. And may we not harden our hearts. May we not walk away. May we desire to once again be in fellowship with you in our faith, Lord, and in our walk with you. And we recognize in our own strength, we will fail. That we need you today, even to draw us back and to stand us firmly, God. So I pray that for us, Lord, that you will be most important of all things, that you will be preeminent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.